Welcome back to He Leadeth Me, a spiritual formation podcast for Focus staff, students, and friends. I'm Jessica, Focus's Manager of Spiritual Formation, and today I am once again joined by Father Kevin Dyer, who is Focus's Senior National Chaplain. And we are continuing our series on discerning God's will. Today we're going to talk about the three modes or ways of discernment according to St. Ignatius of Loyola. And I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking, if we asked our staff and students, what are ways that you discern God's will? I feel like the most common would be roses and their colors. So you ask St. Therese for a rose, and if it's a red rose, then you stay with your boyfriend, and if it's a yellow one, you break up with him, things like that. So we've got a lot of rose discernment going on, but I feel like hearing what St. Ignatius says about discerning God's will be very helpful for people. So I'm glad that you have joined us today, Father.
Good to be with you, Jessica.
So to start off, Father, can you please just sum up for us what are the three modes of discernment?
So the three modes here start with, the first is the one that we all want and expect to a certain extent, that God just makes things so clear within our minds and hearts that it is indubitable. It cannot be doubted. So St. Paul going along, in his way to Damascus and just getting knocked over by the Lord. St. Matthew getting called by Jesus. These were experiences that they simply could not doubt. And these sorts of experiences do happen. The problem is they don't happen, very often. We can talk more about it in a bit. But the second mode would be when, in prayer, you begin to present different options to the Lord and become attentive to consolation and desolation and how the Holy Spirit is touching or not touching your heart. And then the third time for making an election would be when you use your natural reason, your natural intellect, enlightened by grace, informed by the teaching of the church, to make the decision that will be most conducive to leading you to your salvation. So these would be the three times: indubitable, consolation, desolation, and using your own reason and will to make a decision.
Fascinating. Well, I kind of want to dive into each one of those. So let's start with indubitable. You just know. Now, I think that Ignatius says that not only can you not doubt it in that moment, but you'll never doubt it the rest of your life, right? It's that clear.
It is an extraordinary experience.
But you said that this one is probably the least common of the three?
Yeah, I think we see it in all of our lives that, we would love it if the Lord just, knocked us over and made his will completely known to us. But, it's just very obvious that God does not always act in that manner, for reasons of his providence. We can speculate as to what those reasons would be.
Speculate for me.
I will speculate. I think part of the way that God treats us is that he leaves room for our freedom and leaves room for us to develop and take ownership of our lives. And that's the interesting thing, that particularly about the Christian understanding of God. It starts with the Trinity of the three persons that, that all exist together, that God is not such as to dominate all space in this isolated monad in the sky, but God makes space within his very being of the three persons. But then in creating us, he leaves us space and invites us through his grace to develop that freely, to choose him, to know him, to love him, to serve him. So that's my first speculation as to why God does not use that first mode more often, because otherwise it really would diminish our freedom in some ways.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that one of the most common phrases I've heard when people are discerning God's will and it's not clear yet is, I wish that God would just tell me what his will is so I could do it. Mm-hmm. And that's more of the attitude of a slave to a master. Like, just tell me what you want me to do and I'll do the thing. And it's also focusing more on the thing or the choice than on the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that we like the first mode because it's very clear. Mm-hmm. But also it seems like that mode doesn't take much time to discern. And with the other modes, they take time. And so you're developing your relationship with God and you're learning more about his heart when you're discerning his will.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Yeah. Yeah, with all of these, the person that we become in the process is so important. What is this turning me into?
So another question that I have with this first mode of discernment is, you're making a choice and right away you're like, well, it's not abundantly clear. And so you'd think, okay, I want to move on to begin to discern with one of these other two modes that Ignatius talks about. But I think, at least for me in the past, when I've been doing that, I've always been kind of holding out, like, is there going to be a moment when it becomes abundantly clear? And so I'm hesitant to say, okay, I've discerned enough, and now I can make this choice, because it seems like, well, eventually we'll get to first mode discernment, and it's just going to be this big epiphany moment.
Yeah. And, you know, what I think what often is going on in our hearts in those sorts of situations, you know, holding out for the first moment, there's often just a little bit of entitlement to that grace. Like, oh, well, God, if you were really good, you would do this for me. Mm-hmm. Why isn't God doing this? As opposed to, you know, the experience of St. Paul or St. Matthew, this came as a surprise and it came as a gift, which placed gratitude in their hearts the rest of their lives for that experience that they had. A lot of times when we're in the I'm holding out for the big grace moment, I wonder if there isn't a little grasping or entitlement going on there in our hearts.
Yeah, you're right. And we think of that as the big grace. And yet there's lots of grace that comes with these other two modes of discernment, and maybe because they do take more time.
Yeah.
So let's jump into the second mode of discernment, consolation and desolation. Can you describe how somebody would discern in that situation?
So these would normally be situations in which we have a little more time. So it's not just consulting my feelings and seeing, you know, how am I feeling today? But it's rather, you know, in finding myself in constant relationship with the Lord, particularly relationship in prayer, and often with a spiritual director, that I'm praying about different options in my life and seeing, you know, which ones give me consolation. And we spoke in the last episode about consolation. That it's not just the feeling of relief, because relief is just, okay, I got to hold on to some of my attachments, and so I'm relieved. And it's not a happy clappy momentary enthusiasm either, because that is, again, a little too on the emotional side, and it's here today, gone tomorrow. The consolation that we're talking about is something which is deeper and more abiding. Elsewhere in the Rules for the Discernment of Spirits, St. Ignatius talks about the Holy Spirit working on the soul as a drop of water on a sponge. And oftentimes consolation is like that. It's the water on the sponge. It's the ease that is there that just leaves us with confidence that we are serving the Lord. The Lord is good and gracious toward us. You know, even perhaps in the midst of difficulty, we can experience consolation with the prospect of something difficult on the horizon. So, it's just a very interesting thing that happens there in the process of experiencing that. Or, you know, desolation, on the other hand, that a certain route is simply just leading me to a baseness of soul, a lowness of spirit, to feel, you know, dry, desiccated, stretched. These are some of the marks of desolation, and, you know, a sign that, yeah, this is not the road that God is leading me down. But it happens, you know, over time, It happens in consultation often with a spiritual director who knows you and can help you along the way. And it is a process.
Now, you mentioned something important that I want to return to, this idea of emotional consolation and spiritual consolation. So let's say that I was discerning leaving Focus, and if I left Focus, maybe I would move to North Carolina where my twin lives. And if I have a lot of consolation at the thought of just, oh, I'd get to see my sister more and hang out with her more, am I correct in thinking that's an emotional consolation? But spiritual consolation is, how does this increase my faith, hope, and charity?
Correct. And we experience it as a gift from God, whereas, you know, it's very easy for us to see how, in the example of the sister, well, of course I'm going to be happy at it. I, you know, like my sister and I like being with her. So yeah, the consolation has a gift element to it, that I didn't just produce it myself, but it is a gift of the Holy Spirit.
Now, let me see if I understand this correctly. So if somebody is discerning something and they're feeling that increase in faith, hope, and charity at one particular decision, and then when they think about making another decision, they feel more drawn to things of earth and a decrease in faith, hope, and charity, it could actually be that the evil one is working there to try to distract them from God's will for them in the consolation, right?
I think I understand the question.
Yeah.
That you mean, but you know, often when we're on a good route, like we're on to it, there will be certain things that will try to insert themselves and draw us off track. And they could be like false obligations.
Okay.
You know, this is a big thing. We often put false obligations on our backs. You know, like, oh yeah, I think I should do this. Well, isn't your dog going to be very distraught that you've already been away for 2 years and now you're not going to be around for another year? Don't you care about your dog? And you're like, oh, I really should be there with my dog.
Mm-hmm.
Obvious, you know, false movement here that leads to a false obligation and, you know, draws us downward as opposed to, you know, that road that we were on that was really leading us to the increase in faith, hope, and charity.
Yeah, and you mentioned that this takes time, and that makes sense because I'm sure at the beginning you can probably think, well, I feel consolation with a lot of different things here because when I think about one choice, I can think about serving God in this way, and then I can also think about serving God in another way. But then over time, you sift through the wheat and the chaff, and one choice becomes clearer than another.
Yeah.
So we can't exactly put a timeline on discernment, but let's say that you're discerning for a while and you need to make a choice and it's not clear.
And so that's where the third mode comes into play, that there are just decisions in life that have to be made. And we can't hold out any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it is perfectly acceptable to use our God-given reason, enlightened by faith and formed by the teaching of the church, in order to make the best decision that is there for us. And so this can be, you know, it can be a, I don't want to say it's a complicated process. There's just a lot of ways to enter into it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of ways to enter into it. What's important is just to understand the foundational points. First, there are certain decisions that have to be made. Second, you don't need to wait for a lightning bolt from God to make them. Third, you can use your reason and judgment to discern, all right, well, what is most going to lead me toward God?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Ignatius says that we should try to do it in a time of tranquility. You know, basically a time where we are not, just prey to all sorts of worries, concerns, all sorts of attachments. things like that. Now, of course, can we rid ourselves of all worry, concern, attachment? No.
Yeah.
No. We're talking in a human way that, okay, there are times when I know what it's like to just be completely in the throes of these negative things. Let me check them, challenge them, bring myself back to square one. During our last podcast, you know, we talked about that sense of confidence in God.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is indicative of the time of tranquility.
Okay,
can I get myself back to, I have confidence that he can lead me and that I can say yes to him?
That's helpful because, you know, I've read before that St. Ignatius says that you make the third mode when you're in a time of tranquility. And I've thought, I'm female, I'm melancholic. Tranquility is not part of my emotional color palette. So you're saying it's just a time when you're not completely thrown about by different emotions.
That's right. That's right. Peace and tranquility is always a somewhat relative term in our lives. Yeah, very few of us are in a time of complete tranquility. But we also know that we're often in times of relative tranquility compared to, you know, where I was yesterday.
Yeah, no, I feel like I heard you once say that out of the three modes of discernment, you thought that this one was actually the most common.
Oh, by far, by far.
Really?
I mean, we just think about our lives. Just think about the number of decisions that we make in the course of a day.
Okay.
Like, some are just obvious. Like, you know, all right, will I go and pray a rosary today? Now, are you going to wait for God to send you consolation or desolation at the thought of praying a rosary or not?
Mm-hmm.
No, you're going to think,
yeah,
all right, you know, would it be good for me to take some time in silence and pray the Blessed Mother? Oh, yeah, I need that right now. So, you know, in little ways, we're always doing this. And also, I mean, I think in the lives of missionaries, in the decision to join staff or stay on staff, this mode is much more common than we would originally think. Like, I think most people say, oh, to be a missionary, you know, you need the thunderbolt, you need the lightning bolt,
yeah,
or you need that long period of prayer and the, you know, director.
Well, and you're assuming that the missionaries are not in a state of internal chaos, and I feel like they get that way kind of frequently.
Well, we all get in that place, but even when we're not in the place of chaos, we don't need to expect that we need to go into these deep graces for that decision to join staff or stay on staff. You know, this is not your vocation in the sense of marriage or the life of the religious vows. You know, this is a different sort of thing, an important thing, a radical thing, but not the same as these other kinds of decisions. So we shouldn't be afraid of the third time for making an election, of using our reason and our will. What makes it tough is that, yeah, we often doubt ourselves because we're young, because we lack the virtue of prudence that, you know, a person who, you know, is older than us would have. But nevertheless, yeah, the Lord is inviting us into our adulthood. He's inviting us to make adult decisions, and we shouldn't be afraid of it.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about how somebody could pray with the second mode of discernment and with the third mode. I know that Ignatius gives specific ways that you can pray with the third mode, but let's talk about the second.
Well, I think with the second, there's just so many different ways. There's so many different ways that you can pray with it. I mean, I would hardly even want to put one, you know, way to pray with it. Other than I think it's really good always in prayer to start with sacred scripture.
I agree.
And sometimes you can go straight at it and like call the disciples or, you know, things like that, call the apostles. But you don't even need that. The Holy Spirit can get at you in all sorts of different ways. You know, I've heard of some people making the decision to join staff after praying with some of the key scripture passages of focus, you know, with the Great Commission, or the other, you know, key passages. Or it could just be, you know, a place within Scripture that really draws you close to the heart of Jesus. Or for that matter, just praying with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. There are so many different routes in that I wouldn't want to specify, you know, anything too tight.
But you are specifying something important in that you're starting with the Word of God or the person of Jesus,
yeah.
Not with your feelings. Because I think that so often when we need to make a decision, and especially if it's a time-bound decision, our entire prayer lives can become obsessed with the decision. And we can, without realizing it, focus more on the decision than on the person of Jesus.
Yeah.
And really, our decision is always a response to Him. And so that's why it's so good to start with Scripture, with His Word, praying about who He is. Because like we talked about before, that's the context that's going to help you. But also, it's just so easy to get wrapped up in yourself. If when you go to the chapel, the first thing that you think of is, so how am I feeling about this decision today? Then you're focusing on you. And I feel like my prayer has never gone well when I focused on me.
Yeah, it's true.
So I like that, starting with Scripture.
Yeah.
Now, how about the third mode of discernment?
So in the third, the first thing to keep in mind is the end for which we're created. And we talked about this in the last podcast. You know, I'm created to praise, reverence, and serve God. This is the way that I'll find salvation. And so to begin with the end in mind, to know where I'm going in life. Secondly, to have confidence in God, namely asking God for the grace to direct me. You know, this reminds me that I'm not just doing this by myself. The Holy Spirit's working with me. God the Father is drawing me to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. So asking for the grace. And then, you know, Ignatius gives different ways to go forward. And it's funny that he is attentive to different temperaments. Like, he's attentive to the person who takes a little bit more the you know, strict intellectual route, saying, all right, you know, you want to put your pros and cons together? Put your pros and cons together, you know? And then given what it is, you know, use your judgment to say which of these routes is going to lead me toward God better. And then offer it to the Lord, you know, just kind of give Him the opportunity to move your heart to see if it's received by Him.
About the pros and cons, I actually think that that's a really effective exercise because it gets everything in the head out onto paper. Mm. And then you can begin to look at the pros and the cons. And let's say, pros to staying on staff is I love the missionary work that I'm doing. Con is that I'm afraid that I'm not going to meet the person that I'm going to marry because this is a small town. Mm-hmm. And then you can look at both of those things and you can say, do I think this is from God's spirit, my own human spirit, or an evil spirit? Mm-hmm. And if you think that it's of the evil spirit, you can just say, okay, I'm not going to listen to that anymore.
Yeah.
And it can clear out a lot of those thoughts that we can kind of get in a spin cycle with.
That's really interesting, Jessica. And, you know, how often does it happen in our lives that we start feeling overwhelmed with a situation, overwhelmed in life? And often when we feel overwhelmed, it's because we've allowed too many individual things to add up and not to be identified and called out. So so we're approaching the spiritual life as just this mammoth wave of stuff. Well, you can't deal with a mammoth wave of stuff. You have to begin to take it out one by one. This happens a lot with desolation. You know, if people find themselves in desolation in life, it's often because the evil spirit is piling up things one by one, and you've gotten to a point where I'm not even paying attention to the individual things. I'm just seeing it as this big, huge wave, and what can I do against it? So, yeah, the pros and cons helps you separate things out. You know, begin to judge. You can take a few things off the plate. But then also this interesting movement occurs that at some point, all those individual things do have to come back together.
Yeah.
You know, they come back together in a decision to go one way or the other. So there's this interesting interplay. Sometimes we are approaching things as a big, huge mass when we need to divide it out. But then the things that have been divided out have to come back together in a new form.
Yeah, exactly. On that image of the mammoth wave of stuff, I feel like you were reading my soul. So let's move on. What else does Ignatius say for how you can pray in the third mode?
So another way is for the person who can enter into things more imaginatively. And for that person, he says, you know, just imagine different scenarios. Imagine that you're at the end of your life, looking back and wondering, you know, how did I spend my life? I only have one life to give. So if I imagine myself looking back on it, what would I be proud of saying that I did? Or to imagine yourself before the judgment seat of God. And, you know, if I have to go before the Lord and make an account of my life, what will I want to have said that I did? Or to imagine a friend comes to you in the exact same place that you are and asks for your advice. What would you tell them? Sometimes it's just that little distance from the situation can make things clear for us. So those are just some imaginative modes of entering in that could be helpful. Another thing that I like to say is just imagine the person that you will be a year from now. Imagine your life a year from now. If you decide one way or the other way, which person seems closer to God? You know, sometimes that just opens up an avenue that makes the decision clearer. And sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, each of these, that there are cases, and I've seen it happen, and I've heard people attest to it. There are just sometimes where that one mental shift or that imaginative pathway into the decision illuminated something, made it clear, I know what I need to do.
Absolutely. Well, and I love those imaginative exercises because, again, that points you back to the most important thing, which is the glory of God, the salvation of my soul, praise, reverence, and serve God. This is what I was created for. And it brings you back to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we've gone over the three modes of discernment and also how we can pray with those. Do you have any other advice for people who are trying to use these modes of discernment to make a decision in their lives right now?
You know, at the beginning of the last episode, we talked about just anxiety and fear and what obstacles they often are to us. You know, I would just reiterate that. Have confidence in God. Have confidence in yourself. Don't let anxiety paralyze you. Don't let fear paralyze you. You know, I would also, you know, just say, you know, I would keep in mind that the phrase from St. Paul, God's upward calling, that we should never imagine our life as I'll have this period of intensity and then afterward I'll just kind of coast. Mm-hmm. But rather, no, our entire life is meant to be an upward calling. So bear that in mind. You know, I'll say this. The other day I was talking with a directee and we were talking about lifelong mission. And if a person is going off staff or thinking about going off staff, they should ask themselves, do I judge that I'm in a place where I will enter into lifelong mission once I leave staff?
Oh, that's a good question.
And, you know, it can be very enlightening. You know, I know missionaries or former missionaries back when I was in New Orleans who departed staff and they are leading Bible studies. They are, you know, meeting people and sending them to others' Bible studies. They're meeting together, you know, in the mornings once a week, you know, for men's group or something along that lines. Like, they are participating in their parishes. Like, they are living lifelong mission. And so, you know, that's a place where you could say, oh yeah, that discernment to depart staff and enter into this different occupation that's where the Holy Spirit was leading them and guiding them. I've also seen people leave and, you know, they become lukewarm.
Yeah.
And for that person, you know, it might have been good had they thought, am I ready for lifelong mission? And some people just know, I'm not yet ready for lifelong mission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need a little bit more time, but I'll get there. Like, I'm moving in that direction. And then other people just you know, they pray and they know my lifelong mission is going to be right here in Focus. And, you know, I'm in it to win it. When I first got involved with Focus in 2011, and Jess, maybe you'll remember, the big question that was being thrown around was, could a married person even be a missionary?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was the big, huge thing. Can you even stay on staff and be a missionary? Well, today, I mean, we see the answer. It is possible. Yeah, so those are some of the things I'd say.
And I'd just like to remind listeners that one of the best ways to become aware of God's movements in your heart, the consolation and the desolation and how he's speaking to you, is to pray the examine prayer every day. So we have another podcast episode called The One Prayer You Shouldn't Neglect Praying on the examine prayer. And I'd highly recommend that everybody begins to pray the examine prayer so that you can recognize God's movement in your hearts. And Father Kevin, could you close us out with a blessing?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God, Almighty Father, you have created us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. We give you thanks for the many graces that you've poured into our lives and that you have poured into our world through your Son and through the Church. Pray, Lord, as we go forward today, that we might be inspired by your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit might remove any obstacle within our hearts to free us from any attachment so that we might love you and serve you in all things. And may Almighty God bless all of you who are listening today, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you, Father Kevin.
Right on, Jessica.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.